Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Scumbags, this is the Scummy Mummies podcast with your hosts Ellie Gibson and Helen Thorne.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. I am Ellie Gibson.
I am Helen Thorne.
And our guest today is the wonderful Marie Gentles. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
No, thank you. Thank you for coming in. Now, Marie Gentles, you've written a book called Gentle Guidance. What came first? Did you change your name to fit with the title of the book? Or, yes, what we're hoping for you today, from you today, Marie, is, I mean, I say gentle guidance. To be honest, I could do with a firm hand when it comes to many things, but also parenting. But you're here to help, aren't you, Marie?
I am here to help.
I hope that's not putting too much pressure on you.
No, it's not.
Please help us, that's what I'm saying. Please help. I've been doing this for 11 years and I still don't know what the fuck I'm doing, Marie. What the fuck? Guide me, gently.
I'm trying. It's a play on my surname, obviously. Hence the gentle guidance. But it really is about the fact that there is no perfect way to do parenting or to raise young people.
Oh, thank God.
And so it's just gentle guidance. You can take it or you leave it. But if you choose to take it, a really strong statement here, I promise you, you will see some form of progress in one way, shape or form.
Wow. So you're saying that if we listen to you, we will be better parents. Is this like a money-back guarantee? Because what do I get if that does turn out to be true?
It's still broken. Can I get a refund?
How do we measure? What's the metric? I'm going to need Elizabeth. We'll drill down on that, perhaps.
How long will it take? Is it just until they move out and you're like, yeah, they're fine. Okay, they're bye. Bye-bye. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, if I'm being really honest, is that I always talk about the fact that there is no end. I'm sorry.
God, I'm going to be this tired forever.
But
stop worrying.
A huge, huge, huge part of parenting or supporting kids is about understanding that you can't keep striving for this perfect ending or this perfect way for them to be. Because then you're always going to be disappointed or feel like you're falling short.
Yes. Is it wrong, though, to strive for anything? Like, I would say, if I'm being honest, I would say I do strive. I strive for my children. I don't care how much money they earn and all that stuff. I would like them to be not even happy, I would say. I'd like them to be content some of the time.
That's what I strive
for in my own life. I'd like them to have the joy of having their own family if that's something they want to do. And if they don't, also all that blah blah blah. I'd like them, let's be honest, not to be on drugs or have serious mental health problems, which is something in my family, you know, some of my family members have experienced. And I strive to steer my kids away from that path. Is that even possible?
Yes. And it's good. It would be strange if you didn't strive for these things. It's good to strive for these things. It's just, it can get a little bit heavy if every single day for the rest of your child's life you feel a sense of, are we ever going to get there? Because then how do you enjoy your kids? Like, fully enjoy your kids.
Are you supposed to enjoy them?
Yes, you are. It's possible.
I thought it was endure. Okay, fine.
We've been doing it all wrong.
Oh, I misheard in the NCT. Enjoy, right.
Excellent.
I'm feeling better already.
I'm gently better.
So gentle.
And yet firm.
I'm really enjoying it. Look, let's go back a bit, Marie. Tell us a bit about, who are you, Marie Gentles?
So I qualified as a teacher 20 years ago. And then I did that for a while, worked in the mainstream setting. Then I went over to work in a more specialist setting with children and young people with emotional and behavioural needs, which I loved. And I worked with all these young people who others said, you know, oh, you've never seen one like this before. Oh, I'm not sure about this one. Oh, I'm not sure if we can get there. And every single one of them made some form of progress.
Really?
All at different rates. It all looked different, but every single one of them. And then I was like, we can do this. We need to spread the word. How do we do it? So I set up some, what was called nurture groups in one of the London boroughs. And it became the success of these kids coming to the nurture group and going back to their mainstream school. It was quite successful. So that's, I ended up getting an OBE for that. And being recognised from the government for that as well, which I didn't expect. And obviously that wasn't the motivation.
Who put the sword on your head? Is that what you do? Is that
yeah,
your sword on the head?
It was so surreal experience.
Do they do you a sword?
They did. No, they didn't actually. But they did. You had to do a curtsy. And I was like, oh my God, am I curtsying right? You had to stand in the right position.
I guaranteed you weren't as shit as Liz Trust. No one is as shit as
Trust. Liz Trust. Is that her name? She's a Liz Trust tribute act. You've forgotten her name already. Oh,
she was here for a blink.
Yeah.
42 days. Sorry. who gave you the sword?
Princess Anne.
Oh, she's a good... Oh, she's my favourite. Yeah. She's my favourite.
Yeah. I'm keeping very quiet.
I know. We all know how you feel
about the roles. Yes. And I don't wish to spoil opinions. This moment. I don't wish to spoil this moment. Where you enjoyed an honour bestowed on you by someone who wasn't elected. Well done. Congratulations to you. That's marvellous. Was it in the palace?
It was, yeah. It was fab.
What was the toilet like?
Well, very grand. It actually wasn't at all. It was just the general public.
What were the sandwiches like? Were they good sandwiches?
Well, yeah, I suppose. Very small, but yeah. But I'm not complaining. I'm just saying.
I'd like to know where our money's going if it's not on fancy toilet paper and sandwiches.
Just say it.
If Marie Gentles didn't get to wipe her ass on silk when she went to the fucking palace for her OBE, then what's the point of any of it?
She might have had to wipe her own ass, Ellie.
Oh God. Anyway, sorry. Sorry, possibly digress a bit from your very important work. So you got an OBE, whatever, yeah.
No, it's fine. We have different opinions. It's fine.
She's so gentle about it.
It actually genuinely is fine. The reason I say that, though, on all seriousness, is because I just wasn't expecting it and I wasn't looking for it. But it was nice to be recognised for the work for these kids, because these are the kids that often are kind of no one really sees, or they're only recognised when they're doing something really wrong or being excluded or no one knows what to do with them. So for me, it was all about, oh my goodness, this is amazing that people are now wanting to understand these kids in a different way and not just write them off.
I'm fascinated by, like, I'm trying to picture in my head what you do, because I think it's amazing. Genuinely, I know I've been very facetious about your award, but I think it's astonishing. And when I think about it, I'm trying to picture it. Like, so let's say you go into this room with this child who you've been told no one else can get through to, and they're a nightmare. Like, they're probably like setting fire to shit and eating Pritt sticks all day.
Yeah, been there. I'm joking.
And you know, whatever, sniffing the dust off Pringles tubes. I don't know what the kids are up to these days. I don't know what they're into. Where do you start? Like, what do you do if you go in that room and that child just throws a chair at you or whatever?
I've had that many times, by the way.
Oh, God. So,
anything else?
Bingo.
Actually, a lot of what I do now is about working with the adults around the child to prevent that even recurring in that way in the first place. However, if I do, which I don't as much anymore, kind of do that one-to-one work, the first thing I do is think about that young person beyond the behaviour that they're exhibiting. So what are they trying to communicate through this behaviour? So if they've thrown a chair, obviously and understandably, that's not acceptable. But for me, it's about what does it mean? That's anger, that's frustration. Well, why are they angry and frustrated? Why don't they know how to say they're angry and frustrated and they have to show it through throwing a chair? So it's about looking, I can look now, took a while, but now I can see a child and I can see them for who they are, and then the behaviour is like a separate thing, and that's what we need to work on, because the child themselves are amazing. And they always are.
And then do you say, I see you're angry or whatever, or do you say, what the fuck is wrong with you? As I do say, why are you throwing a fucking chair at me?
If I did, I don't think I'd be seeing it now.
That's why we've got different jobs, Marie.
So although one child years ago did say to me, your name shouldn't be Miss Gentles, it should be Miss Ruff. And I was like, oh my God, that's actually really good. Just because I'm putting firm boundaries in. But what I'll do is I will say to them, I will just, I'll never address the behaviour. So I'll never say, oh, I can see you're throwing a chair at me. I'll say, I can see you're really angry right now. And if we need to make that situation safe, then that's what we'll do first. Mm. But I can't allow you to throw the chair. That's unsafe, whatever. And then outside of the time when they're not that heightened, right, that's when we do the work. And often what happens, and I've got a phrase, which is no blame, no shame, because everyone's just doing the best they can. And we're only human. But no blame, no shame. Often what happens is in the moment when a child is all over the place, we're trying to be like, what's wrong with you? Or you should have known better, or calm down, or what do you need me to do? I've been there many, many times. But actually, that's just not the time to do it. Because they're in that moment, they're just communicating, I don't know what the hell's wrong with me right now. This is just how I feel. And I don't know how to communicate that. So that's our job as adults, to be like, well, how can I understand this behaviour as a communication?
Mm. I need guidance about this because things get heightened when you're tired. They bring their homework at like 10 o'clock on a Sunday night. And I don't know how to not be cross.
Yeah.
Like, I can't be calm. I can't be gentles. I can't.
You can. Okay.
Teach me.
You've known her for 12 minutes.
Because it's never in the moment. I always say, you can't, but it's better to be preventative than reactive.
Right.
And so in the moment, any human being, and this is my job, and the other day I was so tired and I was so frustrated when my son said something to me in his miserable voice, and I was like, well, why do you have to be so miserable? Even though I knew the reason, long story, but anyway, the point is, it's about prevention rather than reaction. So it's about... And I know this word well-being, it sounds all very soft and nice, but it's so important when you're looking after, caring for, supporting young people. You've got to, I see it like a glass. So if you're really full and then something happens, you're going to spill over. But if you're less full, then you've got more capacity in a moment to deal with that child. So I know it's a classic one, but you've got to create the space for yourself first, daily, every single day.
Mm.
And then in the moment, it can look different.
Yeah, and then that space can look, because we've talked about that before, about the thing about putting the oxygen mask on yourself.
Yeah.
And like, some of the feedback we get is, but I can't do that. I've got two jobs, or I'm a single mum, or I've got four kids, or all of those things.
Mm.
Like, how do you carve out that space?
Yeah. I always tell people about my mum. She's in the care home now, but for 5 years she lived with us. She only went in care home a year ago. And I was looking after mum. We were full-time carers, got the two kids, doing a full-time job, as is my husband. Like, we were busy, a lot going on. And the reason I say that is because I literally, the same way as every morning you might be like, right, you would not leave the house without brushing your teeth, for example. So prioritise something in the same way, even if it's for a couple of minutes. So even if it's like a cup of coffee in the morning, or a few, couple of coffees in the morning, whatever it is, that consciously be like, this is my time. And what happens after that is you create that space on a daily basis. I will not leave this house without those couple of minutes in the morning when I haven't got the kids around my ankles for this time for me. And then what you'll notice over time is if one day you didn't do that, you would really genuinely feel different throughout that day. You'd be like, what's gone on? Because you started to create, literally, can't go into all the science, it's too complicated for this right now, but you literally almost, like, the way I describe it is create space in your brain. And that helps you to kind of come down a little bit, like the glass analogy I was talking about. So you're not as emotionally full for when you then do have to deal with kids. There's always something you can do. You don't have to do that whole hour run every day if that's not realistic. You can literally do 3 minutes in the morning. I'm going to have this cup of coffee by myself. That's my time. And just start there.
Mm.
That's what I did. And that's how I ended up managing lots of things all at once.
Can I paint a picture?
Like, yeah.
My kitchen table is always covered in shit. Like, always. So every day I have to, like, push some back so I can, like, maybe have a bowl of cereal. Or it feels a bit like that as an analogy. Like, sometimes you've got to clear a little bit of space so you can work.
Yeah.
You can actually function. I'll never have a clean table because I'm just not that guy. I'm just not... I've never seen what a whole table looks like. Maybe when it came from the shop. But then we ruined it. But it does feel...
She comes to her mind. She thinks it's a bed. She's like, what's this for?
I don't know.
What's that?
How do I get...
Where's the sheets?
Oh, where's your piles of paper? Where's, like, receipts? Where are the Sharpies that are dead but we haven't thrown them out because we just put them there? Where are the 3D glasses from that film you went to 8 years ago? Why aren't they there?
Oh god, I've been looking for those.
Oh god.
That's actually a really good analogy, actually, I have to say, because sometimes what people do, they're like, oh my god, I've got this table which is full of stuff and I need it to be clean, and it just, or empty, and it just feels so overwhelming that then you don't do it and you feel like, oh, I haven't done it. Because if you create a tiny space That yeah. feels doable.
Yeah.
And then in a few weeks, oh, create a bit more space. That feels a bit more doable. And so on and so forth. And that's yeah. what real progress looks like, rather than these big leaps and jumps that leave us feeling like a failure or I can't do it.
Yeah. I think, like with so many things, it's about balance, isn't it? And to continue with this analogy, which I'm really enjoying, I am like, generally, not now if you've been in there, but generally I like a clean table. Yeah. It makes me feel calm. It makes me feel I like a clean table. But then I'm sort of at the other end of the spectrum, so I can go wrong in the other way, where I'm like, right, the table needs clearing. And then I can't just shove it all to one side. I start going, oh, I'll go through that enormous pile of paperwork. And then, well, oh, I'll fill out that form, actually. And then, oh, I'll send her that birthday yeah. card. Oh, I'll do that. And next thing I know, I've done like 5 tasks perfectly, but I have run out of time to do the 100 tasks that I could have done quickly and had a bit more space on the table. So I fucked it, basically.
Totally understand. But again, that's another really good example. But that's also what we've got to try and teach our kids, and they will learn the most from what they see from us. So if we're asking them to do something, they feel so overwhelmed, or it's too big, or it's too much, then they're going to be like, just forget it, or have a meltdown or whatever. Whereas if we can say, well, you can do this bit this week, and then this bit next week, or whatever. But if they see us doing the same thing, best way to teach them.
Yeah.
Way better than talking.
Speaking of talking, I wanted to go back to what you were saying about kids opening up, right? Because my kids are 8 and 11, right? The little one never shuts up anyway, not a problem. Very happy to tell you what his problems are, what his issues are, complaints, concerns, all of the time. the other one, sometimes I do struggle to get him to open up. I can see that something's bothering him, and I find it, he will tell me in the end, but I find it hard to kind of get him there. Yeah. And I don't, it's not the time or the energy to, you know, and, you know, yeah. I try not to look frustrated. But like, I sometimes wish there was like a magic phrase or something I could say or do just to get him to tell me what's wrong. Is there one?
I'm so sorry. No.
Shit. Get out.
I'm so sorry.
You've wasted everybody's time, including your own.
There is no magic phrase. And actually, it's funny because I've got 2 children and the 2 are very different. So my son was he was quite quiet, kept everything in, didn't want to talk. My daughter, like, just doesn't stop. And what's really important is that we've always got to look at the whys behind everything, the whys behind behaviour, including our own. So often, if we've got a child who's not saying something, actually, often it's bothering us probably more than it's bothering the child.
Interesting.
Sometimes we have to think about, why do they have to say it right now? Now, of course, please don't get me wrong, if there's, you know, sometimes there could be more serious things going on, and, you know, that's all important to say. However, sometimes every single child just doesn't want to just blurt out what's wrong there and then, and that's fine.
Yeah.
And so all we can do, all we can do and should do for them is create a space so they know that they can come and talk at any time. And as long as they've got that, because lots of kids will problem solve for themselves, and other kids will problem solve by looking and observing, and others will, you know, you have to ask a question, then they might answer. But actually, if we try and pry it out of them, you're never going to quite get what you want in the right way anyway. Mm. So if they know that you've held a space for them. So I always use an example of, a very simple one, but often when kids come in from school or wherever, and I've done this many times before, no blame or shame, but and then we're like, how's your day? I just do this to my son all the time. Like, I don't know. What did you do? I can't remember. And I just get so annoyed and frustrated because I want to have this nice conversation with him. And then now what I advise people is just don't say that, because actually that's about me. That's for me, I want that conversation. You can say, I'm really happy to see you. So good to see you.
Yeah, that's
And then it's not a question. They don't have that pressure. And then they know that's always there. You've created that foundation.
Yeah, as you're saying that, I'm thinking, yeah, I want, when if I see he's a bit upset, I want him to tell me what it is so I can fix it. And then I can just tick it off my list, and I don't have to think about it anymore. That's about me, isn't it? Sorry, you heard the child.
It's about your clean table, Ellie. It's about your clean table.
Let me tell you about my mother. Oh. 3 hours later.
Now, one I was going to ask, actually, because, you know, your background, from what I've read about you, you came from an amazing kind of mixed... You had, like, foster siblings and things like that. So you came from... Well, tell us about your upbringing and how that kind of influenced the work you're doing now.
Yeah. So my mum, she's got dementia now, but prior to having dementia, she was a foster carer.
Mm-hmm.
So we had lots of foster kids in the family.
Yeah.
But then my mum's got a lot of sisters. She's got like six sisters. So she also, her three of her sisters were also foster carers. One of my aunties actually adopted two of the foster children.
Wow.
So very inclusive. But we love it. Absolutely love it. And so I kind of just grew up and this was just the norm. It was just the norm.
Where do you think that came from? That impetus to be... Because it's not that unusual to be a foster carer. To have that much of that going on in one family.
I think... My mum's side of the family is quite big. So my mum's got, she's got a couple of brothers, but she's got more sisters. And they all grew up, my mum's the eldest. And so they all grew up fairly close. And they just love this feeling of family. Don't get me wrong, I do too. It's a bit much sometimes. But I do love it. So that bit quietly.
We all love our kids. We all love our kids.
We enjoy and endure.
But, so we kind of grew up in this. And when my mum and her sisters grew up, they were very much like, they were friends with each other. So they had other friends, but it was all about family, family, family. And so I think that, I don't even know how it started. I think one of my aunties was the first one to want to foster. I don't even know why, if I'm being honest. And then we just loved it. And then the kids just did so well in the family. Then my other auntie was like, oh, I'd like, and we just loved it. And just seeing the kids come in, and don't get me wrong, it was not easy. Like there was, you know, a lot of ups and downs, but just seeing these kids being able to come in and feel what it felt like just to be in this kind of large extended family. Oh, there's just like, there's just nothing like it.
But I love that you had the, that's the kind of person you are, is that you had the empathy to see that as a child. Whereas I know some children would find it very difficult to have another child move in and let's be honest, take at least part of their parents' attention and love. And, you know, I mean, I struggled with having a little brother. I don't know what I've done if my parents have gone, and these four children are moving in, share your toys.
But then I think, if I'm being really honest, like when I was younger, I won't say who, but I've actually put this in the book as well, but... I was quite severely emotionally abused by someone very close in my family. And so growing up, I was always that I kind of retreated. So others might be like, you know, act out, and I retreated into myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I retreated in, I observed from a really young age, I observed so much, and I don't know how and I don't know why, but from a really young age, I somehow got through all of this. I just somehow understood this is about you and it's not about me. I don't know how. I can't answer that question, sorry.
Yeah.
But I just somehow understood that. And then I was really observant. And so when I saw these other kids, I looked at their behaviour and I don't know how or why, but I just kind of saw, that's not who you are. That's not who you are. I think there's something else like behind this. But I didn't think of it like this when I was younger. But I just had this kind of instinct. Don't know why. Don't know where it came from, if I'm being really honest.
And is that sort of what sort of drove you into teaching in the first?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. I wanted to work with animals or children.
Sometimes it's hard to really tell the difference.
I mean it's hard to choose, isn't it?
Yeah.
Depends on the animal.
Yeah.
Stick insects, I could easily handle 30 or 40 of those, I reckon.
Fine, completely.
As opposed to a 3-year-old who's had too much Haribo. I mean, I'll take a stick insects all day, mate, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a dilemma. And after doing a work experience at school in the vet, I just like, no, forget it. It's like, oh, I'll just go to the kids.
Yeah. The kids don't bite as much either. Not as scratchy. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. But then as soon as I got into it, just literally in my first year of teaching, I just had this thing for these kids. And I was working in a Catholic school in my first school, and so there wasn't many like behavioural issues.
Mm.
And so I was like, oh, this is really nice. But then
everyone's frightened of the Lord.
Yeah. yeah. And then, but there was a few kids in the school, you know, a bit more lively. You know, at that time, I didn't know anything else.
We all know what you mean by lively. We all know what lively means.
Lively.
Yeah.
And I was just drawn to these kids, and I just thought to myself, they're just so misunderstood. And then a lot of the teachers would send these kids to my classroom. And then they were like, well, what did you do? Like, how did you get them to do the work? And I was like, at the time, I was like, actually, I don't know. And then I really started thinking about it. I was like, ah, it's because I've actually listened, like actively listened without not listening to respond. I actually listened. But I also tried to understand what that behaviour was communicating without taking it personally.
God, that's really, really brave. And it's really full on, because I think, yeah, it's hard not to take things personally.
Yeah,
it really is.
It is.
Oh, wow.
I think from a younger age as well, I think now I'm older and I talk about, you know, that well-being. I think because of the abuse I suffered from really young, I had to learn really quickly how to look after myself, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I think that's what I kind of carried through, and then I wanted to then show that care to other people and other kids, and I didn't really want other kids to feel like I felt. And even though I went in on myself, I knew that it's the same thing whether you go in or whether you act out. You know, everyone's got feelings that sometimes they don't know how to process or talk about, and I was like, I don't want other kids to feel like this, so how can I help them?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
And then, so the psychology element of your career, when did that come along?
That came along when I went to work in the pupil referral unit. So that was really interesting. So I had the...
Can you explain what that is?
Of course. So pupil referral unit is a provision that, like a school basically, yeah, but it's a provision where children who are struggling at their mainstream school, maybe at risk of exclusion, will come to the pupil referral unit for a period of time, and then they're supposed to integrate back into their mainstream school.
They go back into the main population.
Into the mainstream school. And so I went to work there. I didn't quite know what I was signed up for when I first went there. It was just closer to home. And I thought, well, this is good because I just had my daughter. So I really didn't know what I was signing up for.
So you had a newborn and you're working pupil referral. Wow, okay.
It was, I'm not going to lie, it was full on at first. When I first walked in, I'll never forget this first boy. I thought he was like, he looked like an angel. He had like blonde hair, like these big blue eyes, and I was just like, oh, this is just not gonna be too bad here. Whoa. Then I saw what I was dealing with.
What were you dealing with?
I mean, I don't know what happened, because I was walking around, this is when I was just viewing the place at this point, and I don't know what happened. I just heard a scream and lots of people scurrying towards this child, thrashing about, throwing off furniture, swearing, and I was like, okay.
Wow,
it's gonna be interesting. Yeah.
Here we go, Marie. Yeah.
Right. Is that job on the checkouts of Sainsbury's still available? Because this is a lot of work.
I wasn't sure, but I ended up loving it. Amazing. And that's where a lot of the psychology came from, because you have to think beyond the behaviour. You've got to, and you've got to think beyond, they're doing this to upset me, because they're not. I promise you, they're not.
Yeah. Are you able, now that you've had all these years of experience, are there particular behaviours that would indicate, you know, because I know when my eldest is being very snippy and angry, mm-hmm, but actually she's feeling very sad, and I've learned that. She's angry. Anger is the sort of product of her...
Yeah, it's like, I know when you're very snippy, it's because you're hungry. It's like we all work it out.
Yeah, after a while. Yeah. Very hungry, yeah.
Sometimes, I mean, there's not a perfect formula, so sometimes you're not sure, but so I always say that, sometimes I'm not sure, but I always say that even when you're not sure, just the knowing of there's always something behind this. So I talk about thought, feeling, action. So the action is the behaviour, and so the thought and the feeling come prior to that. So often what happens is we see a particular behaviour and we want to respond to that behaviour, but the best way to respond is to try and if you can't figure it out first, it's fine, but to try and think to yourself, what feeling and thought preceded that behaviour. And often it boils down to fear or worry or anxiety, you know, those kind of general ones. And if you can grasp that, then first of all, you feel different in how you respond to them, and you don't think, oh, they're just being miserable to me or whatever.
Yeah.
And you can then respond differently, but then you can also support them differently. So when one of the best ways is what I call connection time or attachment time. Oh, it's just, honestly, it can transform things for these kids. I cannot stress it enough. And everyone's busy and everyone's doing different things. And even if you can only manage 5 minutes a week to start off with, but it's consistent, your child, doesn't matter what age they are, knows it's come in. And it's something, you know, you're not sitting there going, right, we're going to have this time now. And, you know, we will have a good time. Like, it's not
I have actually said things like that before, like I'm going... Mummy's home between this time and this time, and I've got gigs 2 times this week, and then you're going to your dad's. I'm like, we're going to sit down and have pizza, and we're going to really have a really good time, and that's it. I'm like, why are you ruining this? It's a happy time!
And then me and Pete are the same. Right, I'm in Lowestoft on Wednesday, and then Birmingham. We're going to have to have it off on Friday, but not till I finish my stream.
Yes, exactly. This is why I say no blame, no shame. It's fine. We've all been there.
Put it in the calendar.
It's fine. Really casual, and you've got to be, this is why you've got to look after yourself, because if you're really full and you're emotionally full and then the kids are like, oh, I don't want this stupid time with you, you're going to be like, well, why not? This is the only time I've got this week.
Why are we having fun?
Exactly.
Why don't you want to spend time with me? Just don't understand.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But if you can reduce that fullness, you'll start to see things from a different perspective. So one of the first chapters in the book is all about perspective.
Mm.
And actually, let's be really honest, which young kid of any age really, really wants to spend loads of time with... I didn't want to spend loads of time with my parents. And we forget that when we become parents. And we're like, but why don't you want to spend... It's not personal.
They're just growing.
They've got different interests. Their perspectives are completely different.
Mm.
You know, sitting watching TV with you is not the highlight of their week. And it's all right. It's okay. It's fine.
So what should we be doing in that attachment time is watching telly, all right?
Do we have to do a thing? Whatever, every single child is different. So I've known some families who have done cooking, some families who have just gone for a walk with the dog, some who have just, like, depending on the age of the child, like just on the floor playing Lego with them, playing at some parents are like, oh, I've gone on the video game, I've done it, I've gone on. whatever works for you, you know your child best.
I've gone on the video game. I've done a line of coke just to join the party. I just did it because everyone was doing it. They just taught me into it. Now I can't sleep. I've gone on the video games again. Oh, I couldn't resist.
But even if, because some parents will say to me, but I've tried and they just aren't interested. And I say, just hold the space for them. Just hold the space. Even if you say, at this time, every Thursday, whatever, you know, this is a time where we can, and they're like, I don't want to do it. Don't be like, we're doing it now. Don't do that.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Just hold the space for them. Be like, it's all right, but this time's always, I'm going to keep it here. And even if you have to do that for weeks on end, just hold that emotional space, because it's all about
So say you've got a planned activity and they don't want to do it, you just go fine and you do it on your own, or you just let them go off and watch.
Yeah, absolutely. And if they come back and they want to dip in, then it's fine. You hold that space for them.
Okay.
Because I think often what happens is we lose the point of it. So the point of it is about the feeling. It's about the feeling of connection. But if you force your child, they're not going to get the feeling. And actually what you want, the reason why so many kids love playing on the video games, for example, is it makes them feel good. They feel connected. It's fun. Exactly. Like, it feels good. That's why they do it.
Mm.
And so parents often say to me, well, how do I get them off the game? And I said, you've got to try and think to yourself, what else can they do that can create a similar feeling? That's why they don't want to come off the game, because it feels good to them.
Mm.
You know, and it doesn't mean they have to come off and never go on again. You can say, like, right, we're going to do this for 5 minutes, and then you can go on the game for 45 minutes or whatever you choose to do. But just remember, it's all about the feeling, but you've got to be all right first. They've got to be able to look at you, and you have to look like you want to be there and you want to do it. That's why you've got to look after yourself, because if you don't, it won't work.
Do you have to fake it if you're not?
I'd rather you didn't fake it.
Right.
What would be better, that's why preventative is better than reactive. So what's better is if you do your daily well-being, literally, honestly, I cannot stress this enough, it's so powerful. And then in that moment, you're going to be better placed to be genuine, to feel a bit more relaxed, and so on and so forth.
So when it came to writing the book, just going back to the to the book, let's be honest, there are a lot of parenting books out there. Yeah. I've read at least 1.5. What's different about this one?
I think for me, the main thing is about, so there's so many brilliant things out there and there's so many fantastic strategies and ways to do things. And that is excellent. Please don't get me wrong. But often what happens is people try to put strategies in, professionals, parents, carers, they put these strategies in. They're like, we need different strategies. They're not working. And I always say, it's not about the strategy. It's about the mind behind the strategy. So behaviour support is a mindset first. It's not a list of strategies. So you can have a list of strategies and it could work for one child and not work for the other. It's not the strategy that's not working. It's the mindset behind the strategy. Mm. So if you're feeling really tired and frustrated and you're trying to put that strategy in, it's not going to work. If you're feeling much better and you do the strategy, then you're going to see it differently, or your perception as well. So it, to me, this is all about the bit behind the strategies, and of course there's strategies as well, but it's about the how to do this long term and not just be like, oh, I need to do this for a few weeks and oh, now I need to do something different.
Yeah.
Now, there's things here that you can do for a lifetime, and not just with kids, but with adults as well, if you choose to.
So the strategies are things that you have seen work in practice.
Literally.
But you're saying we just basically have to be in the right mindset and then do them for a fucking long time.
Yeah. But what I will say, though, is that over time, this is what's happened to me. It's taken a long time. But over time, it just becomes a way of being. So for example, there's a really, really basic strategy, which is a language one, which is thank you, not please. So if you're saying to a kid, please, can you just stop swinging on your chair, or please stop doing that. When you say please, that's a request. So in their brains, it kind of goes, I might stop swinging on my chair. I might not. Maybe today, maybe I won't. When you say stop swinging on your chair, thank you, and you do thank you, it becomes an expectation. So their brains have got less time to be like, oh, I might not. It's not completely foolproof, but it's really powerful. People love doing this one. And then they love doing it. So it's just like little things like that. Now has just become the way I speak now. So it's just become, so at the beginning I was like, oh my god, please, thank you, can't remember which one to do. But as you practice it, it's just how you speak. It just becomes, so you're not trying to remember everything, it just becomes a part of who you are and just how you do things.
Now you're saying that again, I'm like, oh, so I've got lovely Inga. She's looked after my kids for like 5-6 years now while we're fanning about with our nonsense.
Yeah.
And she's amazing. And like, they love her, but also like, they do what she tells them. And like, I'll come in and like, the shoes will be in the shoe cabinet. I'll be like, what? You're a witch. What are you doing? But now I'm thinking about that. That's right. I can hear her in my head going, shoes in the shoe cabinet, thank you. Whereas I'd be like, please, can you put your shoes? For God's sake, please. I have asked you. For fuck.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Shit.
Try it. It's really powerful.
I know. It was yesterday, I was very tired and I was trying, and my son came home and he was watching YouTube really loudly next to me. I'm like, Hugo, could you please not watch YouTube next to mummy? I'm very tired. And he kept watching it, and then he kept watching it, and it was all like, blah, 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 and I went, shut up! And then he just went, what? And then I was like, oh god, I'm a terrible person. But it just went from like 0 to 100.
Yeah.
Because I just sort of snapped, which I'm not proud. I'm very,
wow,
I'm very
proud. We're only human, you know?
Yeah.
No shame, no blame, mate.
Exactly. We're only human. Yeah. It's fine. And that's where preventative rather than reactive comes in. So if you've got a recurring situation or a situation like that, you can do things like, right, if I now know that that's potentially going to happen, you pre-plan it prior with kids. So things like putting the shoes away or whatever, it's like, well, when you come in, you're going to put your shoes there, like, boom, boom, you're going to do this. But you talk to them about it, and another time when they're feeling good, everyone's in a good space, and this is going to be our routine, this is what we're going to do. And it doesn't have to be perfect, you know, but just generally. And kids will fall into that. And then you don't find yourself in the moment. Don't get me wrong, you're going to have to repeat things. Their brains are still growing and developing. You have to repeat things. It's just part of growing up. But once they know what to expect, then they can react and respond differently.
Talking about YouTube there, I wanted to talk about screen time.
Oh, big one, yeah.
It's a big one. Certainly in this house, it's the thing that we argue about the most, to be honest. And again, children are different, right? So the little one, he's actually not that bothered, and he can go a whole day without, he sort of forgets that screens exist because he does have a shit. But the big one, like, oh, it was bad enough with the bloody iPad, and then it was the PlayStation, which is sort of my fault because I'm a gamer, right? But then now it's the mobile phone. It's like, and it's a daily
struggle? Like, do you have any nuggets of wisdom for coping with all that?
Yeah, because the first thing is, and this is where the mindset comes in. So the first thing is we have got to understand that it's different for them. Mm-hmm. So this is where the perspective comes in. So the reason we think like that is because when we were younger, for confidence saying we've all done.
Yes, yes.
So when we were younger, you know, I think I had my mobile phone at like 17 or something, my first phone.
17?
Something like that, which is so embarrassing.
17?
I know it's embarrassing. 35. I know it's embarrassing.
No, no.
I was in my 20s.
Oh, good, oh, good. Okay, yeah.
No.
When I was a student.
Okay, fine.
No.
Okay.
You're a witch.
You're a young lady.
So late.
No, you're a young lady.
So I didn't have a mobile phone till then. And then I remember, like, I saw my friends at school. It's like, see you tomorrow. Like, you don't speak to them when you get home.
Yeah.
Or in the holidays, see you after the holidays unless you played out or whatever. So for us, when we're looking at our kids or kids of this generation, and we're like, why on earth? They don't know any different. They were born into this. So the first thing we have to remember, just so we can respond in a different way, is that this is their norm. And we can tell them it wasn't like that in our day. They really don't care. They don't care. Mm. It might not have been like that in our day, but this is their day. Mm. So the first thing is to understand that from that perspective, that this is their norm. And so for them, it's one of their main ways of feeling good, feeling connected. The games these days are amazing. You know, you used to do a gamer.
They're
amazing. And so for them, it feels really good. And so that's the first thing we have to understand. Then we approach it differently. And then we can then put some boundaries around it. But we have to have something else to give them that same feeling that they get from the game. So it can't be like you're going to come off the game at this time and then, oh, well, you just have to figure out what you're going to do for the rest of the evening. Try to think to yourself, what else can we do that may potentially give them that feeling? And sometimes they have to learn it because they're so used to the phone and the gadget and all of these. It gives them an emotional, genuinely, and a feeling of emotional, almost emotional safety, I'd go as far as saying that. It's really comforting for them. Frustrating for us, but comforting for them.
Well, I can understand that because it's comforting for me, isn't it? Sometimes if you're having a bit of a stressful thing or to have a 5-minute break and you look at Facebook and maybe see a nice picture of someone's baby, you feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
I can get my head around that. And I think I'm interested in how much content is available to kids as well, because when we were little, not you, because you're about 24, but when Helen and I were little, you know, we did only have like 4 television channels and stuff like that. And if you wanted to watch a film, you went to the news agents and you rented one film and that was it. And and the choice was what they had in the news agent. So I'm trying to get my head around, for my kids, like, they have instant access to literally any entertainment they could want. And of course it's tempting. Of course that's more interesting than doing a fucking jigsaw puzzle with their mother. Which was, you know, I did loads of stuff when I was younger, but I didn't have much else to do.
This is it. And I think obviously it goes without saying, you know, all of the, you know, you've got to try and do all the kind of parental safety stuff, you know, check the phones and all this kind of stuff. But also aside from that, utilise what I call the language of choice. So you're in control, but you're providing them with safe control. So you can say things like, if you want them to cut down on the time, you can say, right, you know, speak to them in a time when everyone's okay, you know, one's stressed and emotionally full and everyone's fine. And say, look, you know, we're going to cut down on this time a little bit, but what do you think? Do you think we should cut down by 15 minutes or whatever minutes, 30 minutes? But don't give a choice that if they choose one, you're going to be like, oh, why did I give that choice? Yeah. You've got to be happy with both. Then what happens is they start to feel like they're like, oh, okay, I'm in control here, even though you ultimately are. So I do this all the time. I use the language of choice. And what happens is when you're trying to get them to do something they don't want to do, they actually feel like they've made that decision. And then in that time, it can be like, so what do you think? What do you think you can do in that reduced time?
Yeah.
What else can we do? Should we do this or this? Or do you have another suggestion? And you'll be surprised.
And like my son's gone, oh, half an hour, and I've gone, all right then, that's fine. Thinking, fuck me, I was going to go for 9 minutes. I've got shit to do. Fucking hell.
This is why you've got to think about the choices. You've got to be really happy with what you provide. And if you don't want them to come up with something wild, you give the 2 choices, but just make sure you're happy with whatever they choose.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, I do feel better, Helen. How are you doing over there?
Oh, good. I'm just thinking about, because it's the summer holidays coming up and I get my kids half the time and they're going to Australia with their dad. And I was like, so what do you want to do for the holidays? And they're like, well, I don't know. And so I'm thinking, why didn't I just suggest like 3 things that I've already I already want to go to, but like,
run mummy a bath,
yeah,
make mummy a cup of tea, or let's play the silent game.
But they, yeah, I know exactly. But they, Hugo was like, oh, I want to go to Iceland. I was like, no, that's too expensive. It's like,
no, but you should say, yeah, 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 we're going. Then take him to the shop.
It's a very strong branch in Peckham.
That's probably about 3 years of therapy, isn't it?
Yeah, pack your bag.
The Capra bun's good actually. It's... got a very strong section of Greg's products.
Oh, very good, very good.
Also, the King Prawn Alfredo, highly recommend. Anyway, back to the podcast.
Oh, now I want pasta.
Yeah, let's go down Iceland's after this.
Yeah, good, good.
Well, I think we're pretty much wrapped up here. So your book is full of all this fantastic.
It's full of Marie. You've listened to this podcast, listener. Who doesn't want more Marie? Oh my God, just come around my house. I feel like I've very much purged. I just sound like I'm shouting all the time, which I am. Yes.
That's why you feel like that.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
It. Yeah.
So yes, what day is your book out? Gentle Guidance.
It's out on the 22nd of June.
22nd of June. Excellent. Highly recommended. Mm. Now we do like to end the podcast with a scummy mummy confession.
Oh,
I'm going to go first because it's quite topical, isn't it? So when you came into my living room, which I've lovingly tidied for you, Marie, to give the pretense that I've got my shit together and that I'm a nice, clean, tidy person. Quite pleased with it. Got some fresh flowers in there. Lit a candle earlier. All of that. And then she came in, we were sitting down. I was like, oh, I'll go and shut the door so we've got a bit of privacy because the builder's here. And he's a very good parent. He doesn't need to listen to this shit. And as I did that, first of all, my son's guitar fell over. And then there were two filthy child's football socks just crumpled in the corner of the room, thus exposing me as a scummy mummy. But I think you probably knew that anyway, Matt.
Yeah,
to be honest. Marie, do you have a confession for us?
Well, yes, I've got a little story for you. So this is when my daughter was a bit younger. Oh my God. So she is, like I said, she's very different from my son, so she's very outgoing. And when we moved into the house, well, we were looking around the house that we live in now. It was online, but we walked past and my husband was with us. So I was like, oh, the guy was in who owned the house at the time. I was like, please, can we just come in? I swear we'll only be 5 minutes. And he's like, I've just freshly painted everything. And our daughters were quite young that time. I said, she's so good. I'll hold her hand. She won't touch anything. I promise.
Oh, you know, really?
And I was like, you know, it will be fine. So we went on in, holding my daughter's hand. We were looking around. Like, I've literally got 10 minutes. I've got an appointment. I was like, honestly, we won't be any longer than 10 minutes. I promise you. Quick look around and we'll contact you through the agent. So we went upstairs, had a look around. I literally let go of my daughter's hand.
Oh, no.
I'm not kidding you. For about 2 seconds, it felt like. Ooh. And I heard the almighty scream. And I turned around and she had put her head through the banister. And it was stuck. The painted banister.
No, no.
And she was screaming. And my husband was going, get her head out. And I was like, don't worry, darling. It'll be fine. He was like, I've got to leave in a minute.
Oh, God.
This is chaos.
Oh, my God.
And we ended up being there for about an extra 35 minutes trying to decide how we're going to get her head out.
Sorry.
I missed his appointment.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And she was coming in.
I felt so
and you were like, I better buy this fucking house.
No bother. No bother.
Oh, my God. Kids will be kids. What can you do?
Absolutely. Oh my God, did he take some money off because you had to have new banisters? But she's all right now, she's not still there.
Absolutely. You went
like,
fine.
We're never going to get her out, we're just going to have to buy the house, she's just going to have to live there.
Yeah.
This is where we are
at the end.
Pot it one end, sandwiches at the other, it'll be absolutely
kids are unpredictable, you know, that's how they are.
That's one word for it, isn't it? Unpredictable, that's what we're saying.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Helen, do you?
It's basically, this is Helen being a shit parent podcast. But yes, yesterday I was meant to go to an award ceremony and the drink started at 5.
Mm-hmm.
But my daughter doesn't get home till 5 and I'd been away for a few days. And I said to her, I said, listen, I'll wait till you get home. And, you know, I just want to spend, like, even if it's 10 minutes, I just want to see you, I want to give you a hug. And Matilda's like, don't worry about it. Like, go to the awards, you know. And I was like, no, I've missed you. I want to be a good mum. Anyway, she comes in at 10 past. I'm like, why are you so late? I'm going to these awards and what shoes should I wear? She's like, I don't know. She's like, I need to do a poo. I was like, but I don't know what shoes to wear. I can't use the Uber. Where's my makeup? And I was insane. They're like, just go. I was like, no, I want a really nice time with you. She was like, She's like, why did you bother? I'll see you later. I was like, fine. It was such a... And I was like, I could be drinking for free. And no, but I'm having quality time with my teenager. She's like, seriously, Mum, why did you... Why have you done this? I was like... Anyway, so I've learned my lesson. So we're having a Chinese tonight.
Lovely.
And everything will be better with some crispy duck and noodles. And I'll make it better. And I'll stop.
Be well.
Yeah. But
does going into restaurants that you really like count as like attachment?
Yes.
Like, wicked.
Anything. Anything that you can enjoy. Anything.
Yes. Well, anything. Come on. This
okay, course. Within reason.
Yes. That is true. Awesome. Yeah,
probably don't give them a whiskey.
Yeah. Well, there we go. We've come to the end of the podcast.
I don't want it to end, Ellie, but it
I
must.
Don't.
Oh,
it's been so lovely. So
Marie has to go back and help other people. She's like Mary Poppins.
She's just going around gently guiding the whole of Britain. If you could do some work on the fucking government, that would be amazing.
Yes. Can you
gently guide them towards some compassion? That would be lovely. Thanks so much. Don't get me started. I shan't start ranting.
Yeah.
Let's do some admin instead.
Excellent. Well, everyone should buy Marie's book, obviously.
Yes,
available online at bookshops, all the things, obviously. And then we are going on tour, Ellie.
We are.
So many places all up and down the country.
Tunbridge Wells in July.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Wimborne, Basingstoke.
Taunton.
Bath. Oh, I love going to Bath. Stroud. Very happy about going back to Stroud. And there'll be shows in Catford. Watch this space. And North London, North Finchley.
Yes. So we're doing a few gigs like in June, July, and then we've got the summer. We have a little break in the summer, but tickets are already selling really fast for the autumn and the Christmas shows, and they do sell out the shows. They do.
We do
not
very
all of them,
well.
But a lot of them do. So yeah, get your tickets now, scummymummies.com for all that jazz.
Yeah.
We've got a shop. I mean, I think someone bought a t-shirt the other day. That was quite exciting.
Yeah.
We made a good £1.74 on that.
Yeah.
After shipping and
business.
Costs.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Still waiting for that call from Alan Sugar. But at least we have stopped making a loss on the mugs. Anyway, so that's where we are. Thank you so much, Marie.
Thank
it's
you.
Been so lovely to have you. Until next time.
Bye-bye.
I feel like a better parent already, Helen, do you?
Yeah.
All in the mind. Yeah. Start there.
Thank you.
Do you mind if I just pop out for a few days? Would you mind staying here and gently guiding?
I would be very pleased to have these kids.
Helen, get in the car.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.